I'll get rid of this thing. Thank you, sir. All right. Ooh, that's loud. John chapter 1 this evening. I decided nobody learned anything in the first six chapters. We're just going to start over. So, we're going to do tonight like we did Sunday night. I know the whole month of February we broke away from our study on Sunday night in the book of Proverbs. And on Wednesday night our study in the book of John. And I enjoyed the month of February. I hope you did. Is that part of focusing or refocusing? And it sure has been a help to me to, you know, we know. But just because we know doesn't mean we always do what we're supposed to do. And it's always good to back up a little bit, get our eyes back where they need to be, and then just plow one more time and do something for the Lord. So I hope that was an encouragement. But what I do want to do this evening, we're just going to recap some thoughts through the book of John. We've gone through the first six chapters, and I know that seems like we're a long ways from getting done, but again, our purpose is not in getting done. Our purpose is to study the Word of God, verse by verse, word by word. And again, I'm all for preaching. I love to preach, but the older I'm getting, I see more of a need for Bible study, for true studying the Word of God, because it's amazing. And I thank God for our church. But if you do any type of go to a different church somewhere, maybe on vacation or something, or, you know, it's amazing the lack of Bible in our churches today. And it's hurting us. It really is. Because, again, as we looked in the book of Proverbs on Sunday night, Proverbs is that book of wisdom and knowledge and instruction. And how should we behave in the house of God? How should we know what we're doing if it wasn't for the Word of God? And we need a deeper understanding. And again, I've not arrived. I don't know everything. I don't know anybody that does know everything except the Lord. But I sure like to go through these things and just study them word by word. And again, as you read your Bible, I encourage you to slow down. Take every word. There's no fluff in the Bible. It's not there by accident. It's there on purpose. And try to study it and try to understand what God's saying in these verses. So let's read together John chapter 1, and then we'll just work our way through on some things tonight to get us sort of back up to where we left off there in January. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Does that mean that's when he begun? No, he was before the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of the men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, and thank God for that verse. Aren't you glad tonight, just because the world rejected him, just because his own people rejected him, aren't you glad that God said, but for whosoever will may come. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Not in our study tonight, but again, people say that, again, in our modern day perversion Bibles, many of them take that thought of the begotten Son and say the one and only Son of God. Jesus Christ is not the one and only Son of God. Why? Because of that verse. Again, look at it. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but back up verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. If you're saved tonight, that's you. We are the sons of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. There's a great difference, and that's not our study tonight. We've looked at that before. So let's pray, and we'll let you be seated. Father, we sure love you. sure thank you for this book tonight, God. I thank you for the Word of God. Most of all, I thank you for the Spirit of God, Lord, that leads our thoughts, our minds, God, how you teach and direct and guide. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight, God. It seems like, Lord, our minds running 100 miles an hour. I pray, God, that you'd help us to focus tonight. God, help us to redo some of these things that we've seen before. And God, just help them to strengthen our heart, strengthen our walk, Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, you'll again touch and bless. I do pray for our young folk tonight as they're in their classes. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless there in a mighty way. And God, just thank you again for the opportunity to come into this place and study and worship together, Lord. And we give you all the glory for it. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And again, this is just a refreshment, going back over some things that we've already seen before and just hitting some of those highlights as we go through this thing. Before I forget, right after service tonight, fellas, if we get all the platform furniture back up here tonight, the floor is all good, so we should be able to put our stuff back up here. So if we can get some help with that after service, that'd be great. So let's just look back on some things. We're going to just go through a few of the highlights is what we've seen here. And again, it's not a verse by verse in this part tonight. And the book of John is a, as we said Sunday night with the book of Proverbs, it's hard to outline the book of Proverbs because it's verse by verse as far as there's so many different things. But here, as most books are, as the book of John is there's a way to outline. You can put it in order of a certain way. And we'll try to look at some of that this evening as we go through these verses. And again, a recap. What do you remember? The book of John deals with what? The deity of Christ. Does anybody remember the key verse to the book of John? It speaks of what we just said. It's found in John chapter 20, verse 31. It says, but these are written. What's written? These words, the word of God. They've been written. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That is, to me, again, the key verse of understanding the whole book of John. Now, if you remember, we talked about the different Gospels and the different aspects of how the Gospels, again, how many Gospels are there? Four. Hello, everybody all right? I told a few they could sleep, but not everybody. There's four Gospels. And again, preacher, well, and if you talk with people, if you deal with people, they'll say, well, you know, there's contradictions in the Bible, and I always like to say, show me one, because they don't know where one is most of the time, and so they look dumb to themselves. But a lot of people, as you read through the Gospels, you'll think, well, why does this Gospel say this, and this Gospel says that, and this Gospel has this account in it, and this Gospel doesn't have that account in it? And do you remember my illustration of why that's so? Was anybody here on Wednesday nights? We live in a very electronic world, don't we? One of the upcoming things is this thing of, and I've never used one of those things, but, you know, you put it on their face and they can, makes everything look like it's alive, doesn't it? We've always pretty much in most of our lives always dealt with the thought of 2D, two-dimensional. Well, in the world that we live in, our electronics and devices have got more advanced, and we're living more in a 3D generation, three-dimensional. But I'm glad that this old King James Bible outdoes them all. It has 4D. And that's exactly what the Gospels are. The Gospels are a four-dimensional look at who? Christ. In the book of Matthew, we find Christ shown as he is the King of the Jews, dealing with Christ sitting on the throne there in Jerusalem. In the book of Mark, he is shown to be that servant, the one that works the deeds, the miracles of Christ. The book of Luke, he has that, we see the humanity side of Christ, his compassion, his love, and his the hands-on there in the book of Luke. And then you come here to the book of John, and all through the whole book of John, we constantly are shown the deity of Christ, that Christ is the Son of God. Over and over and over and over, that thought runs through the entire Bible. So we see again that Christ is the Son of God. And again, we take things so for granted. You know, most of us probably have never been on a foreign field. Most of us probably have never dealt with people that's never heard something about who God is and this kind of thing. I'm sad to say today you got to be really specific when you say God. That's the reason the world don't really care if you say God, because God could be about anything in the day that we live in. But I'm glad that I know there is but one true living God. But we see that God shows us that Christ is God. He is that Son of God. We know that Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And here God affirms that same thought here again, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see the deity over and over and over. Here in these verses that we read here in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, we see that the Word has been given here. In the beginning was the Word. And again, I'm not here to beat up anybody else, but again, if they don't come to our house anymore, I don't know why. Well, they might show up tomorrow. Who knows? It's been a long time since I've had a Jehovah's Witness come to my house. But usually, if a Jehovah's Witness comes to my house, I try not to hide in the closet and pretend I'm not home, and they'll go away. I don't mind talking with them. I'm not going to argue with them, but I don't mind talking with them. One of my greatest goals when I talk to a Jehovah's Witness is one goal: to make them think. If I can get them to think, to get them to question something, that usually leads to something else. Now, they'll run the same rabbit trail over and over and over and over and over. That's all they know. And they're very well indoctrinated. I mean, they know more than most Baptists know. They just don't know truth. But I like to take them to these verses. Why? Because they don't believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe He is that Son of God. And I like to take them here, and I like to really use, I'm not puffing us up, not saying it's the right thing to do, but it's probably been 12 years ago now. Me and one of the men here, he's no longer here, he's moved on, but we were knocking doors, and we went over to a house over here. I can take you to the house. And the lady come to the door, she was Jehovah's Witness, invited us in. We got to talking and fellowshipping, and finally got into the conversation. I took her these verses, and buddy, she got plumb mad. Then I got tickled. She says, "Let me go get my Bible." And it just so happened she had a King James Bible. She read it out of her Bible and really got mad. It's the truth. But it's amazing how people today, and again, we're going to see that in a minute, about the all through the book of John, Christ deals with some three things that we're still fighting today. He fought in His day. But that's one of the things He fought, is people are not willing to accept truth. They've been told and they've been showed, but, you know, again, the Bible tells us to rightly divide this book, and it's a great book, so I hope we'll continue to learn. So we find here that the Word was in the beginning. John chapter 17, let's just look at some verses real quickly. Well, preacher, we hadn't got that far. Well, this has to do with that same thought. We're finding who He is here. John chapter 17 this evening. John 17, verse number 5 says, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." That's who He is. Again, He wasn't the beginning. He was there in the beginning. He was prior to the beginning. He's always been. And again, that makes no sense to us. We can't think that way. But again, it shows His deity of who He is as the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me over in the book of 1 John. Just showing you some things here, nailing down. And again, I don't think we have that problem here tonight, but just hitting some highlights that we saw before. 1 John tonight, chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John 1, 1. Again, the deity of Christ, verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." Hold that thought there. Look over back over in John chapter 1. Look at verse 14. Most of us know this verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. There it is, that begotten, full of grace and truth. Take that verse, look at 1 John again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the, notice, what? Word of life. Notice anything interesting about those, that word, word? It's the capital W. When you find the capital W in the Bible, who's that referring to?
Christ.
When you find the little W, what's it referring to? What you're holding in your hands. The word, actual, written, spoken. So again, we find Him, the deity of Christ. Look over in the book of Ephesians. Preacher, we know this. Well, it's good to look back and see why you know it. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Verse number 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Again, before Christ has, it wasn't Christ came into existence in that manger there at Bethlehem. He's always been that Son of God. People say, well, how do you explain the Trinity? How can you not explain the Trinity? You can't explain it away. And again, it's one of those things that people will try to bring these things up. And that's the reason I want to encourage you to arm yourself, to know why you know or know what you believe and why you believe it. So I hope you mark your Bibles up. I hope you'll lay these things to your remembrance. Look over in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8 this evening. I was visiting with Brother Roush and Miss Nancy this afternoon, and Miss Smith was there, and we were talking, and me and Brother Roush got to talking about some things, and the thought came up, Brother Roush, if you remember, about the Word of God and how people, you know, why people don't know or why people can't see. And I told him, and it's one of the truths that we've got to always remember this. We've been exposed to it. We've been taught it. We've been around it. The majority of people today and the majority of the world have never really heard a true explanation, a study of the Word of God verse by verse, and they don't know these things. Now, let me ask you something. How do you know? If it wasn't for this book, how would you know? Everything that we know comes from what? From this book. And that's the reason I say it all the time, and I'll stand upon it. People say, well, I believe. It doesn't matter what I believe. Well, God showed me. If it didn't come out of this book, He didn't show you. Well, God told me to do this. If it's out of this book, if it doesn't line up, God didn't tell you to do it. And it's amazing how people, it's always been, it's nothing new, but it's just so evident in our day, how people like to justify their lives saying that God said to do this when they can't find you a verse in this book that has anything to do with what they're doing. Why? Because we don't follow the Scriptures. The Bible says what saith the Scriptures. Not what saith man. Not what saith the Baptist. Not what saith America. What saith the book? The Scriptures. That's the reason it's so important that we know this book. And again, how would we know who God was? Oh, preacher, we would know. How? We are so blessed to be able to hold these 66 books in our hands. There's places all over this world that has never had a complete copy of the Word. And see, that's so foreign to us. But there's people today, and it's amazing. when a man desires light, God will give them light. God will send them. God will put something in front of them. I know what the scripture says, that his the firmaments declare his glory. Creation shows his glory. But the only reason I know that is because the Bible tells me that. There's a lot of tree huggers today. There's a lot of people that Mother Nature. No, I know God created. How do you know? In the beginning, God. Because of this book. So again, we find here God showing us. And again, it's never been a question of God. God never had to explain where he came from, because he's always been. But God here through the book of John has over and over testified to that fact that Christ is the Son of God. Why? Why would he do that? Because of that verse there in John chapter 20, verse 31 again. But these are written that ye might, what, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life through his name. That is the key of knowing that Christ is the Son of God, that we would know it, and by believing it, we have eternal life. See the importance of knowing? So again, Christ, the deity, he is the Son of God. Proverbs chapter 8, look with me in verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Who could that be? John Spade, he's old, but he ain't that old. Who could that be? You remember what? We ain't got time to go look at. I think it's Job chapter 28. Remember this one of my favorite parts of the book of Job. You remember the conversation that God brought Job into? Where was you when I formed all this? That sort of puts me back into who I really am. I'm about this big, and God's just God. And here, Christ, we find him here. Isn't it amazing you can find him all the way through this book? Proverbs chapter 8, look with me this evening, verse 23. I was set up from the everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part, or the dust of the world, which he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Who is that again? That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. His deity. Look one more place. Look at Psalm chapter 90 real quick, and then we'll move. Psalm chapter 90 this evening. Psalm chapter 90. Look at verse number 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Again, the deity of Christ. Paul says that I may know him. And this is one of the ways that we can know him. Knowing him as God himself. Well, he's the Son of God. They're all the same. You can't separate the Spirit from the Father. You can't separate the Father from the Son. They all are one. So we find here again in the book of John, if you will turn back over there, the deity of Christ. In these verses, and again, chapter 1 sets forth a great introduction to who he is. And in these short verses that we read tonight, 14 verses, We find so much information of who Christ is. Let's look at it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So again, we find His deity. He is the Word. Genesis. Adam and Eve was in the garden. They sin. They know they sin. They hide. Who came walking in the cool of the day? Hello? Y'all ever read, anybody read Genesis? We actually studied that one time. Who came walking? The Word. Who could that have been? Well, here He is. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, let's see something else about this name Jesus, or the Son of God, His deity. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He made it all. Preacher, you mean, and that's again one of those things, and we give the devil way too much credit. The devil is not like God. The devil don't know everything. The devil isn't everywhere. Most of our problems is yourself. I'm enemy number one to myself. But we like to blame the devil. But He made it all. Lucifer, where did he come from? That's not a trick question. God made him. Well, guess who controls him? God. He's like the dog on the chain. God's gave him so much chain, but there's coming a day God's going to pull the chain. The devil cannot do anything that God does not allow him to do. Well, preacher, that's not the God that they talk about on TV. You're right. It's not the God they talk about on TV. Well, I thought God loved everybody. He does. That's the reason He gave His Son. That we could have life. So we see here that He made it all. Jeremiah chapter 10, I'll just read it to you real quickly this evening. The Bible says, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 11, thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. John chapter 1, verse number 3. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made it all. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. That's the same God that I serve. It's the same God that hung the moon and the stars. Same God that holds it all in the palm of His hands. Same God that measured out the water. But why don't we see Him that way today? I was listening, reading something the other day, how NASA has supposedly made life. And I started reading the article, and they said how they took these certain gases and these certain things and supposedly made an organism that would be alive. Now, it's still not life. But I couldn't help but think. That old joke jumped into my mind. Where did they get the dust and the gas? They're taking something that was already there. Where did that come from? So, again, it's all made by Him. And that's something we learn here in John chapter 1 in verse number 3. Look in verse 4. In Him was life. Well, where does life come from? Not from an alien. Not from a mud hole. Some worm didn't crawl up out of a ditch one day. The monkey's tail didn't break off and land on his feet and start walking. Where did I get life from? From the Lord Jesus Christ. God Himself gives us life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we find there that we have life in Him. And it is the light of men. Verse number 5. And the light shineth in darkness. Aren't you glad tonight? It's great physics truth. Light always breaks darkness. Now, depending on the greatness of the light, it might not shine very bright. But here we have a great light that shined in darkness. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And it still shines today, and man still doesn't comprehend it. Why are we so blind? Because we choose to be blind. There's a light that we could see, but man chooses to stumble around in the darkness. It's like having a flashlight in your hand and walking out into the darkness of dark and trying to walk and you never turn the light on. That's what the world does. They have light, but they refuse it. They choose not to have it, so they dismiss it. So those are some great things that we just learned right off the bat here in the book of John of who Christ is, his deity. And all through the book of John, we find that deity. And in chapter 1, chapter 2, we find pretty much the intro to the book. And then after that, we find his public ministry. And we'll get into some of that here in just a moment. Another pop quiz question tonight. See if anybody remembers. We looked, starting in chapter 2, we looked at some things that Christ had to deal with as his public ministry. And that's what we're finding as we begin our study. And we're going to see that all the way through till we come to his death in the latter part of the book of John. But there was three things that we showed you beginning in chapter 2. We've seen it in about every chapter up to chapter 7. And we'll continue to see it all through the next several chapters. Three things that Christ dealt with in his public ministry. And there's three things that we today deal with just as Christ did, as we try to be a work of God in our day. Anybody remember any of the three? Religion was one of them. Anybody remember another one? Hearing. Remember how they heard? God would tell them something, the Lord would tell them something, and they would hear it in a fleshly way, and God was speaking to them in a spiritual manner. So one of the problems he dealt with, and that was the Jews and their religion. And how far, when Christ showed up upon this earth, as we find him here robed in that robe of flesh, when Christ came to this earth, he shows the Jew how far they have been removed from where God told them to be. Remember, it was the Passover of who? The Jews. That's not what God said. It was God's Passover. Over and over, Jesus Christ, as he ministered here in the book of John, we see him dealing with the Jews and their religion. And even today, we have to deal over and over with people and their religion. Just as the Jew did in Christ's day, many today have to make that same choice. As me and Brother Rouse was talking today about a certain religion and why they don't understand. And me and Ms. Smith was talking about a certain religion. The majority of them will never turn from that religion. Why? Because that's all they know. That's what they were born into. That's what they have surrounded themselves about. And here the Jew had got so far removed from what thus saith these scriptures or what God told them that they would have to deny their traditions to step away from that religion. And people today have to make that same choice. Not just in some other religion, but even in the Baptist church. Many times people have, and again, you know me, if you've been around here any time, I ask that question, why do we do what we do? And there's a lot of things there's no Bible for. So again, we've got to stay close. And the second one was hearing, and again, that's that thought there of Christ would speak in a spiritual manner and man would take what Christ said and try to turn it and fit it into a fleshly manner. And again, people do that today. They try to take what God says and turn it upside down and around and try to stick a square peg in a round hole and it won't fit. So what do? Let's make another Bible. Let's cut this out so it'll make our lives fit right. Doesn't change God one bit. Third one. Anybody remember the third one? Who did Christ, besides the Jewish nation, have a lot of trouble with? And that's still the Jewish nation. Those guys that followed him around, you remember that bunch? His disciples. How over and over he would tell them something and they just didn't get it. And we're still dealing with that today. We preach, we teach, we preach. And again, I'm public enemy number one to myself. Why don't I ever learn? And we find Christ dealing with that same bunch over and over and over again. So those are the three that he dealt with. So real quickly this evening, I got about 10 minutes. I'm going to run through very quickly six chapters of the book of John, give you the highlights, and we're going to close out and pray. Chapter 1, we've already looked at verses 1 through 4. We find the Word, the Creator, life and light. Verses 5 there, the light and the darkness, and they didn't know the light. Verse 12, the Word was made flesh, and then we see the results, verses 12 through 18. The witness of John we find in verses 19 through 34. We find the following after him and the dwelling with him in 35 through 42. And then there we find Nathanael and the unbelief and confession, and then the promise of greater things there in verses 50 through 51. So that's chapter 1 in a real quick nutshell. Chapter 2. Anybody remember what's special about chapter 2? The first miracle that Christ ever performed in the body of flesh. And what was it? Water into wine. Ever drunk in the county will tell you that chapter 2 of John. Well, didn't the Lord turn water into wine? Did he? They don't know. And we spent time looking. Isn't it a shame that when we look at the first miracle the Lord Jesus Christ ever performed, he could have done anything. And he chose to do that. Why? Where was it at? It was at a wedding. When we look at that thought of the specialness of why it was at a wedding, I'm going to a wedding. It's all about that water. Remember the water? And we see it over again throughout the book of John, how God does something with water. And he turns that water into wine. And again, why is it everybody knows just that part of it? Look in chapter 2 real quickly. Why did he do that? Why did he do that miracle? Anybody remember? There's a verse that tells you. Verse 11. That's the key to what Christ did. Let's look at it. Chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. That's the whole purpose of that miracle, is that he would be glorified and lifted up and that men would believe in him. It's not about turning water into wine. It's about Christ showing forth who Christ is and what Christ would do. So chapter 2, real quickly, we have the marriage there in Canaan, the water to wine. We find in verses 12 through 22, the temple's cleansed. And then chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, we find the many who believed on him. And again, that's the whole purpose. When we can show forth Christ. And that's one of the biggest things. Saturday, Thursday, when the men go out Thursday or Saturday, when we go out and knock doors, you know, I'm going to invite people to church. Can God save anybody? He sure can. He can save them. You know, he's had them ready. And you walk up and there he is. But the biggest thing I'm out to do is not to introduce them to Gospel Light Baptist Church. The biggest thing that I want to do is introduce them to my God. If we can glorify him, if we can elevate him, if we can lift up him, then they'll believe in him. I'm not going to name names tonight, and there's no reason to name names, but I know people that follow preachers. I've watched them as a preacher leaves one church and goes to another church, they'll leave that church and go to that church. God's not in that. You're following a man. Follow God. That's who I need to follow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That should be our goal. So we find that in chapter 2, because of this ministry, many believe. Chapter 3, Nicodemus, a great chapter there. And again, we spent many weeks in John chapter 3 and Nicodemus and his new birth and how the new birth is accomplished. And we find in the latter part of John chapter 3, we find the last testimony of John the Baptist. Chapter 4, great chapter again, that he must needs pass through where? Samaria. Why? Because there was somebody there he was coming to see. And we know her there as the woman there at the well. And again, what was that whole conversation about? Water. Spiritual water. Remember what she said? You don't have nothing to dip out of this well with. It's deep. And that's where a lot of people today, well, I just don't understand. Or I don't. Listen, Christ is so simple. Just take a drink and see. Oh, taste and see. So he must needs to go through Samaria. We find the woman there of Samaria and how the conversation goes there in John chapter 4. The greatest thing I love, one of the things I love about this conversation there is after she finally understands a little bit, she trusts Lord Jesus Christ as who he was, that deity that he is, that Savior, the Son of God. She leaves her water pot, and what does she do? She returns back to the city and begins to tell. And again, he had to deal with her about what? She had to see who she was. And that, again, that's one of the troubles that we have of our day is people do not want to repent. People do not want to see that their sins are sin. They want to justify and excuse it away. But Christ here, as he deals with this Samaritan woman, he brings her to that place about how many husbands she'd had. And when he told her about who she was, something changed. And she received Christ, she left her water pot, and she went back to the city and began to tell everybody what had happened at the well. Let me throw this out again. This woman wasn't a likable woman in the city, was she? Why? What was she? She was a harlot. She'd laid around with all the men in the city. That was who she was. That's the reason she was at the water pot or the well at that time of day. And here this woman that I'm sure all the other women sneered at, all the other men tried to avoid. Here she comes back running into the city telling them about what somebody just done for her and how she's different now. But is that not what happened to me? Is that not what happened to you? And when we drink out of that well of Christ, we ought to be filled up and run back into our workplace or our school place or wherever we might go and tell everybody the experience that we had at the well. So that's the greatness there. So the woman's, we see the witness of the woman. We see his return to Galilee there in the latter part. Then we find there in chapter 2, the second miracle that Christ performs. Anybody remember what that was? The healing there of the nobleman's son. So we find healing there in chapter 4 in the latter part also. And again, if you remember, we took that miracle time there as the woman at the well, and we looked at that same miracle there with the nobleman's son and saw the difference, didn't we? We also looked at John chapter 3 and saw Nicodemus there, that religious ruler, that one that should know, and compared him to that Samaritan woman, and what a difference. And even the way God spoke to them, what a difference. So then chapter 5, we find the healing there at the pool of Bethesda there, the impotent man. We find the opposition of the Jews. Remember that? And we talked about baptism during that part. We talked about also about the law and how they misspoke their own law. And how we find there the opposition of the Jews. We find there in the same chapter the unity of him and his father, as we've already labeled out. We find that time of judgment and the time of his hour to come there in chapter 5. We find that future of the raising of the dead there in verses 26 through 29. We find his witness there in the latter part. We find the witness of John. We find the witness of his works. And we find the witness of the Father. Remember, we look at those four witnesses there in the latter part of chapter 5. And that was a great study. And then we run into chapter 6. What's chapter 6? Anybody know that one right off the bat? Feeding those 5,000. And another great miracle. And then we find them wanting him to be king. We find him crossing the sea there in a storm there. He tells them not to be afraid. It was him. The discourse we find there about the bread of life. There in the latter part, we know that there were many there, said it was a hard saying. We spent much time there looking at that bread. We looked at the breaking of that bread, the drinking of the blood. We tied that into Catholicism and what people believe today, not just today, but all throughout the Catholic Church, and how they believe that that wafer turns into the body of Christ and that wine turns into the blood. And we looked at all that and drawed it into what the Scriptures have to say. And so that's John chapter 1 through 6 really quick. And I hope that brings some things back to your remembrance. Maybe between now and next Wednesday night, you can read back through these six chapters. We're going to start right back in chapter 7, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. So what a book. What a great book. All 66 of these books. So I hope we'll just continue to read, continue to study. And again, as you read, as you see things, write them down. Cross-reference things, and preacher, I don't understand. There's a lot of the things I don't understand. There's a lot of notes that I've made that God's never showed me what they are. He might not ever show me what they are, but I just keep on digging and keep on digging. So, all right, let's stand together this evening. We'll have a time of invitation, then we'll have prayer time.